Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job, building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. So in our previous lesson, we looked at string manipulation. Often, you'll also be working with dates and times in your application. So in this lesson, we're going to look at both the basics of working with the date class, as well as doing date math, formatting the date to be represented as a string in different ways, and a whole lot more. So let's go ahead and start by creating a new application called Dates and Times. And to begin, I'm going to create a new date. So dim my value as date equals now console.rev. Right line, my values, console.read. Okay, so in line number 5, notice that I use a class named date. I create a new instance of it and set it to the value of a built-in Visual Basic helper method called now. The now method returns a new instance of date that's set to the current date and time that this variable was created in the computer's memory. And then I obviously use console.writeline here. I can actually print or send dates to it. There's a default way of formatting dates as far as the writeline method is concerned. And so we'll see what it spits out for us whenever we run our application. So it will print out the date, month, day, year, again in US English time. As opposed to how Europe may use the day, month, year format, right? And then we see 11:54 and the seconds, 01 a.m. So the full date and time are printed out according to the settings of my computer as to the format, the typical format that a given country would use to format a date and time. Great. And so there's actually a large number of helper methods that will help format a string in many different ways. If we were to use the dot and then type in 2, you can see that we can format it the date as a binary, that there's local time, long time string, short time string. So let's try a few of these out. Let's do what I typically use, which is the two short date string, and you can see that it only prints out the month, date, year. Let's do two short time string, and that prints out just the hours, minutes, and AM or PM. And let's try the long date string. And you can see that it prints it out in a very friendly format, Saturday, January 25th, 2014. Okay, so you can experiment with all the two, you know, formats for a given date if you'd like to spend some more time on this and learning those different formats. But I want to continue on for now. So in addition to displaying a particular date or time, you can operate on it by using built-in methods that are available from the .NET Framework class library. So I just want to talk about a few operations that you can perform on a date. So for example, let's paste that line of code in again, and we'll do an add. And you can see that I can add a time span. We'll talk about a time span later, but there are other things that we can add. For example, add days, add hours, add milliseconds, add minutes, add months, add seconds, add ticks, add years. All right, so let's add some days. I'll add 3 days to the current date and then display that to screen. In fact, I'll do this, two short date string. And you might say, well, how is that possible that you're able to call two short date string on add days? Well, this technique is called chaining, and it's popular in programming and popular in .NET. So we know that my value is a date. The addDays method will actually return a date as well. If you take a look at the definition of the public function addDays it returns a date, as date, at the very end there. And so now that I know I'm getting back a date, I can continue to chain on another method to that. I can format that date to the short date string format. So 3 days from now will indeed be the 28th of January. Great. So just keep in mind that chaining, we may have seen it earlier and I didn't really point it out to you. Let's continue on. We can add hours. So let's take that tact as well. Add hours. Let's add 3 hours from now to short time string. Same idea here where we're chaining together, where we're getting back from add hours a date. And so we're going to format that date using the two short time string format. So 3 hours from now will be almost 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Great. And what if I wanted to subtract time? There is no subtract version of these methods. If I go to subtract, I can subtract a date, but I can't subtract just individual hours or minutes or days. So what you can do is add days minus 3.2 short date string. And 3 days ago, it was the 22nd of January. Okay? So that's how you can get around that limitation. All right, let's also talk about retrieving various date parts. So if I were to start with my value here, in fact, let me just go ahead and copy this. And I wanted to, for example, just determine what the month is. I can print that to screen. So 1 represents January. These are typically integer values that are returned back. I can retrieve all sorts of things. If we take a look here, there are the particular minute, the hour, the day of year, day of week. What day of week is it? Let's go ahead and comment that one out. Run this example. And it's the 6th day. So I guess this is counting Monday as the first day. And Saturday would be the 6th day, which I guess there's some way to change that to Saturday should be the 7th day of the week. That's just me. And there are many different ways to get at parts of the date, and you might need that depending on what you need to pass into another method or to determine the amount of time elapsed between two dates or how many months have elapsed, how many years have elapsed, or things of that nature, depending on the logic of the application you're trying to build. Again, these are just ways that you can get at certain pieces of a given date. All right, let's go ahead and move on. There are several ways to create new dates whenever you need to work with a date that is not now. Up to now, we've only been working with now, the current date and time. But what if we want to work with some date in the past or some date in the future? Well, the way that we can create a new a date without using the new function is through, there's a couple of different ways. There's a couple of different ways to do that. Let's start with my birth date, and which is in the past. So dim my birth date as new date, and then look at what I can pass in. There's 11 different ways that I can call this. And one of these ways is to pass in a year as an integer, a month as an integer, and a day as an integer. So let's do 1969. The month would be December, so 12, and the day would be the 7th. And now I would be able to print that out. Console.writeline my birth date, like so. And it represents, notice, midnight, because we didn't give it a specific time of day. So it will just default to midnight on 12/7/1969. Great. So the second way to create a date that's not now is to create it like so. Dim my birth date as new date. My birth date equals date.parse. So there's this parse method, and we can pass in a literal string. Whoops. 69. There we go. And let's go ahead and run it. And it will look like the same date that we created before, but notice that we passed in a literal string that we know represents a date. And then there's, just like there's literal strings that we surround with double quotes, there are actually literal dates as well. And to create one of those, all you need to do, we can go dim my birth date equals, and I can just use two pound symbols and 12/7/1969 and run. And we get the same result. So any of these will work. All right, so let's go ahead and now talk about how to determine the difference between two dates. I want to know how much time has elapsed between now and when I was born. How many days have passed? So I would do something like this. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and steal. No, I'll create a new version of this to show another way to create a date. It's almost identical to what we've done before, but there is one little wrinkle here. And then I'm going to create my age, and I'm going to create a time span object. And so a time span represents the amount of time that has spanned. So in this case, we want the difference between two dates. It's not a specific point in time. It's rather a number of years, months, days, minutes, seconds, whatever the case might be. So we want a span of time. It's a different data type in Visual Basic and in .NET. So what we'll do is date.now.subtract. So there's our subtract method, and we need to pass in a specific date. So we're going to subtract now, we're going to subtract my birth date from now, and we should be able to do a console.writeline with the number of days, so my age dot, and we can display it in total days, total hours, total minutes, or whatever the case might be. Let's go ahead and display it in the number of days. And let's run the application. And so that's how many days I have lived on Earth, 16,120 and a half, 0.5 days, which is about noon, okay? So I'm feeling pretty old, first of all, but I could use some combination of properties and methods on the time span object to determine exactly how this translates into years, months, and days, given the possibility of leap years and so on, if I just do a little extra work here. But there's a lot that we haven't covered in this lesson, but I felt these were the common uses of the date and the time span objects. And so I'm going to give you the same encouragement at the end of this lesson that I gave you at the end of the previous lesson. If you find yourself writing a lot of code to manipulate dates or times or spans of time, then you might want to stop and you look through MSDN or look through IntelliSense, because chances are the .NET Framework-based class library has something for you already built into it. All right, so writing applications involve working with data, and as we've learned in this lesson and the previous lessons, the .NET Framework-based class library can help you with all types of manipulations on all types of data, not the least of which are dates. All right, so now we're going to do something interesting. We've been talking about object-oriented programming and classes and objects, and we're going to discuss that fully beginning in the next lesson. So we'll see you there. Thank you.